Amen.
Galatians 6, 11 through 18.
See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is it is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the mask of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Thank you. So one thing that I have been doing during the pandemic is writing handwritten notes. And I've come to recognize in my own life the power of the handwritten note. Seeing ink, real ink, not just colored printing on paper, has a heft to it, has a weight to it that a printed form does not. It adds emphasis. It adds importance. And as we come to the end of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, we are told that these final few sentences were written by the apostle himself. And while the brunt of the letter, the first 5.5 chapters, were dictated to a secretary or an amanuensis, someone who would simply write down what they heard, these final words are so significant to Paul that he writes them by hand. As I was looking at some commentaries, it's not uncommon for Paul to finish the letters that he writes with a brief benediction and a greeting from those that are around him, or a prayer. But Paul doesn't do that here. He gives a benediction. But what he does in Galatians, in the letter to the Galatians, he does nowhere else. He summarizes all that he has said in the first 5.5 chapters. Now, we don't know why he begins, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." It could be for emphasis, like bold, like John Hancock's signature on the Declaration of Independence. I don't want you to miss this. I want it to be distinct. It could be because of his poor eyesight. What we know is he is drawing attention to these words. They force us to take note. They force us to think about the heart with which this letter was written. So what does Paul include in his note to the church? The first thing is that we see Paul notes the folly of the flesh. In full disclosure, this point, I'm going to have four words that begin with F that sort of summarize my thoughts. This is not original with me. The outline comes from the commentary written by Scott McKnight. And so, to give credit where credit is due. What we see here in verses 11 and 12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. There is, first, the method, which was force. They were compelling others to side with them. They were not using physical force. They were not dragging people out of their homes and bringing them before a surgical knife. What they were using was psychological force. If you want to be accepted by us, if you want to be accepted by God, then we are compelling you. We are propelling you. We are pushing you. We're drawing you to be circumcised. But as Galatians 2:14, Paul already wrote, doing this forces people to do things that they themselves knew was wrong. In Galatians 2:14, he talks about Peter in eating at the table of the Gentiles until the Jewish leaders arrived from Jerusalem. And when they arrived, Peter conveniently stopped doing it. Even though he knew there was nothing wrong with it, he compelled others around him, including Barnabas, to not eat. This is the same term, this is the same word, this is the same picture. That they want to force others to comply. Their motivation was fear. They were compromising, they were compelling, they were forcing others to act in such a way because they were afraid. It was to protect themselves. They were seeking to avoid persecution that came from the cross of Christ. They were adhering to the teachings of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, and by doing so, they would not be harmed in any way by adhering to the gospel, by giving credence to the gospel, by allowing someone to interpret their actions as the gospel. Verse 13. Not even those who were circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. Their consistency was flawed. They did not practice what they preached. They themselves knew that there was no way of fully keeping the law. Galatians 3:10, Paul has already said and written that living by the law requires you to keep every statute. And so to say, the law requires that you be circumcised, They were neglecting the fact that, yeah, the law requires a lot of things, and you cannot keep them all. And so their consistency. We are saying you need to keep the law, but we ourselves are not keeping the law. Ultimately, their goal was to flaunt. And we see that in verses 12 and 13. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly. Their focus was to have all the externals look right. And then at the end, they want to boast in your flesh. Look at how many people we got from the Gentiles to be circumcised. All that matters is what's on the outside when we live by the flesh. Doesn't matter what's on the inside when we live by the flesh. As long as we have a clean shirt. This morning I was eating breakfast and I spilled my bowl of cereal on my shirt. And I had to change my shirt. Why? Because I want to make a good impression outwardly. But the fact is that I still spilled my milk all over me. Whether you can tell it or not, I was not paying attention. I was not taking care. And so, even though I'm wearing a new shirt and very few people know that I am a slob, doesn't change my character simply because I look good on the outside. The problem is that a life of only outward religious acts offers very little hope or peace. Can anyone really earn a place in heaven? Does anyone's actions really make them more acceptable to God? And the answer that Paul gives to these weighty questions is that no. The outward appearance makes very little difference. What people need is Christ. And Paul notes the wisdom of the Spirit. He begins by noting the folly of the flesh, and now he goes on and notes the wisdom of the Spirit. And now this outline is mine for better or for worse. Paul's goal, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They boasted in the flesh, the Judaizers. Paul says, let me never boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. He could have boasted in himself. He starts off this letter. Galatians 1, verses 13 and 14. Of all the things that he could say about himself. You've heard of my previous way, how I was above and beyond, extremely zealous. But he says the only thing that matters is Jesus' work on the cross. And from the beginning to the end of this letter, that is the constant refrain. The only thing that matters, the only work that matters, the only action that matters, the only effort that matters is the cross. Through the cross, we are free from self and self-centeredness, Galatians 2:20 says. Through the cross, we are free from sin. Galatians 5:24 says. And through the cross, we are free from the world. Galatians 6:14 says, culminates it all with this. Through the cross, I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. I have killed that aspect of my life that was connected with the world. And the cross has crucified that world, that connection of the world to me. It is dead. The bridge has been broken. And I no longer consider myself part of this culture of outward focus. All that matters, he says, is the new creation. Paul's message, Paul's goal is to boast in the cross. Paul's message was acceptance for all people. Because the outward appearance doesn't matter to God. Circumcision is not anything. Uncircumcision is not anything. He is not boasting that he's uncircumcised either. He's not boasting in the outward appearance at all. He's not boasting in the flesh at all. Doesn't matter. This rule, this measuring stick, that the outward appearance is nothing, should be our measure for life. What matters is that we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. He has given us spiritual rebirth. Therefore, we can say, I am crucified with Christ, and therefore I no longer live. The life I live in this body, I live spiritually for Christ and His glory. And when we have the measuring stick of new creation, when we measure ourselves, when we measure others, are you a new creation? Yes, I am. Are you a new creation? Yes, I am. Doesn't matter what we do, first and foremost, that new creation gives us peace and mercy, gives us wholeness, gives us health, and gives us mercy. That we are not given what we rightly deserve. That there is pardon, peace and pardon. And because of that, Paul writes in verse 16, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Throughout this letter, there has been an argument by the Judaizers that in order to be the people of God, we need to mutilate our bodies as a sign of adherence to the law. But what Paul says finally, in his final words, is that is not true. We are given the privilege of being God's people because God has named us as God's people and He has done the work through Christ to reconcile us to Himself. Paul's final word, let no one cause me trouble. Let no one be a frustration on my behalf. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. We all have scars. All of us are scarred in one way or another. Some of those scars are from sin, and some of those scars are from sacrifice to Christ. Paul says, look at me. If you're looking for an outward sign, if you demand that there be some sort of physical representation that I am a follower of Christ, if my teaching annoys you, makes you beat your breast, then look at me. I am carrying in my body the scars of the cross. Thomas A. Kempis wrote this hundreds of years ago. Jesus now has many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few bearers of his cross. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our wounds from our faithfulness be a witness to those around us? With such a blaring contrast, we all need to decide. Am I going to follow the flesh and live a religious life? Or am I going to follow the Spirit and live a grace-filled life? Before you answer, Paul gives us, notes the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace, that unmerited favor, that unearned blessing that we are given by God as a gift so that we ourselves cannot boast, as Paul writes in Ephesians. May that grace be with your spirit. May the awareness of the grace of God reach your very core. Your spirit. What makes you, you. The flesh is concerned with the outside. And Paul, as our spiritual mentor, desires to enrich the very depths of our core, where the Spirit of God fellowships with our spirit. May the grace of the incarnation of Jesus, the fact that the grace, the gift of Jesus coming to earth, may the grace of the revelation of Jesus, that not only did he come to earth, but he fellowshipped with us, he showed us the Father. May the grace of the crucifixion, not because we deserved it, but because we needed it, that gift of bearing our sin. May the grace of the resurrection, accomplishing for us what could not be accomplished in our own efforts, the forgiveness of sin through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. May that reach the very core of who you are. May the deep well of your spiritual life be filled with the grace of Christ Jesus. So that when the trouble comes, we are not just an external being. Not just a fleshly being. But that we are able to be refreshed from the deep well of grace that abides in our soul. May God's gift of acceptance through Christ shape who you are. Paul writes with his own hand that he will not boast in following the law, but that he will boast in his following Christ. And what about you? Are you boasting in the religious acts you have checked off the list? Or in the grace that brought you peace before God? Our sermon in a sentence is this: grace makes a difference that religion never can. That's really the whole point of this letter. The grace of God through faith in Christ is what liberates and transforms us. Paul doesn't encourage greater obedience or offer steps for self-actualization. He champions a life centered on the grace given us through the cross of Christ. Grace makes a difference that religion never can. One day we are all going to stand before God. And will we rely on religion, what we have done, circumcision, church attendance, confirmation, or more? Or will we rely on grace, what God has done through Christ? Incarnation, revelation, crucifixion, resurrection. Grace makes a difference that religion never can. I hope that you have enjoyed as much as I have this letter. And as we conclude it, as we conclude the letter, may we be encouraged for the days ahead. May we not focus ourselves on what we can do for God, but what God has done for us. And let that inform our relationships. Let that inform our ministry. Let that inform our praise. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that you would be blessed.